There are two readings in your order of service, and that's deliberate because the next few weeks, obviously, we're looking at the Lord's Prayer, and the other reading is one that's familiar and relevant to what we're looking at today. So I'll read both, and that gives us the context in which we are operating today. Jesus said, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." And then a short reading from Paul's letter to the Roman Christians, where he says these words, "The Spirit of God that you have received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory." And may God bless his word to our hearts. I'm sure you've all said the Lord's Prayer at one time or another. Perhaps in the ritual of a regular church service. Perhaps in a time of crisis or difficulty. And perhaps just simply reading it in your own quietness of your heart. Because it does bring some degree of meaning and comfort to anyone who is seeking truth. And this prayer, and I think I want to give a little bit of background to the prayer that Jesus gives to the disciples and to all of us. The prayer is not simply a series of petitions that are put together, but it's a finely balanced and a very structured prayer with a rhythm and a cadence to it that suits all our needs by focusing on God's greatness, God's grace, and God's provision for our needs. At its very beginning, it's a confession of dependence on someone greater than ourselves. And so as we come to the very introduction to the prayer, Our Father, it is something that is a confession of dependence on someone greater than ourselves. That is, the living God manifest to us in Jesus Christ, his Son. True, effective prayer must begin here. Many pay lip service to this dependence, but only when we may be in dire straits. This prayer is to be the way of life for the Christian. The context of this passage is where Jesus speaks about those who he regards as hypocrites. And there were those who were very religious people in Jesus' day who would stand in the street corners and make all the motions and have the lips that said they were praying. And they wanted to draw attention to themselves that they were deeply religious people. And he says, I don't want you to be like that. I don't want you to make your prayers a public thing so that everybody sees you and attention is drawn to you. That's not what we are advocating here. So he was a little bit contradictory to some of the regular practices of religious people of his day. And the second thing he says is that there was a whole community out there beyond the religious pale who were into maybe pagan religions of one kind or another. And they would, their prayers were wordy, they were verbose, and they were constantly making repetitions of the prayers on a very regular basis. And they would reckon that by the very repetition of the prayers, they would attain to some kind of relationship, to some kind of God out there that they believed in. And Jesus says, you're not to be like the pagans who believe that they will be heard for their much speaking. So that's the context and the background to the prayer that Jesus is teaching his disciples. In other words, he's saying to us that prayer is profound, but it's simple. Prayer is deeply influencing your life, but it's very simple in its basis. And so he asks us to address, when we come in prayer to God, he says, you come saying, Our Father. A common understanding for all people. Fatherhood has been part of the human race since the very beginning. And we understand its significance, its meaning, its purpose. We see its flaws sometimes in human beings, and we see its goodness and its richness. And it's from this basic human concept that he lifts our hearts and minds and says, I want you to approach God this way. Say, Our Father. And Jesus addresses God as Father and has said that no one knows who the Father is except the Son and whoever Jesus has chosen to reveal him to. He teaches his disciples to pray to the Father as a Father, the Father. It's a markedly different from the pagan prayers and is simple and uncomplicated. And it simply says, Father. Abba, in the best sense of the word, Papa. Pagans believed that the gods were touchy about how they were addressed, and one had to be careful not to offend them. But Father here is a term of respect, and it's a term of intimacy. And in the average family life, there is a degree of understanding of fatherhood as a term of respect and a term of intimacy of relationship. And it's a conversation with one with whom we have an intimate relationship. It's not a prayer that we offer as a matter of ritual. It's something that comes from the heart out of a relationship established with God through Jesus Christ. And this reminds us of the inexpressibly amazing relationship that anyone can have by faith in Jesus Christ with God the Father. It's open to anyone. The gospel is inclusive, and the gospel extends forgiveness, acceptance, renewal and restoration and reconciliation to all men, whoever they may be, whatever class strata they may be, whoever they are, whatever they've done. In Jesus Christ, there is the hope of restoration and reconciliation to God, so that through Jesus, you are then able to call him Father. And we are adopted then into his family and we become his children. And so to us, God is introduced here, not simply, just simply as Father, but our Father. It is the simplicity of a child making his or her request to a parent, with no need for eloquence or pretense. No working out a special language or a special wording. I've often been in situations where people prayed in open, and you could tell sometimes that they had very carefully prepared a prayer that was very verbose sometimes and went round the world and came back again. And by the time they finished, you were perhaps had lost track of where they were going and where they'd come from. But Jesus says this prayer is to be simple, genuine, related, and a relationship basis to God. In Luke, the image of the Father, in Luke's Gospel, the image of the Father is one of love and mercy and benevolence, forgiveness. And in a particular case, which we're all familiar with, it's also the Father who has jubilation over the return of the lost son. There is the heart of the fatherhood of God. It's the intimate Papa. It speaks about freedom. It speaks about reality. It speaks about relationship. And that when I know God as my Father through Jesus Christ, I am free to relate to Him. And I'm free to become the person He meant me to be. And I'm free from the dark things that have kept me from Him. The use of the word our indicates that we speak on behalf and with others who are in the family of God. And whether we pray at our bedside or in our church together, it includes the rest of the family. He's not a remote and impassive deity, but is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father. And when His Spirit comes to our hearts, He is intimate and near. And we know Him intimately and near. It's a confident prayer. Prayer made to God our Father, who makes promises that He always keeps. And that phrase, Father, is repeated throughout the passage in Matthew here. And if you go further on, you'll find words like these. Your Father, who is unseen. Your Father, who sees in secret. Yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. Your Heavenly Father knows what you need. And how much more will your Heavenly Father give good gifts to them that ask Him? We come to a Father revealed in Jesus Christ, who loves us and has our best interests at heart. We come to a Father who listens and answers in a way that sustains our best interests from His perspective. We come to a Father who knows our frailty, weakness and failures, and is forgiving, renewing and restoring. We come to a Father who keeps a constant eye on us and is always with us every step of our journey. And we come to a Father who has an eternal purpose for our lives, which He is working out each day for us. We come also to Him who is the Lord of the universe, and we believe that He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ever ask or think, because He is our Father through faith in Jesus as Savior. Each time we come, we are coming to Him who made us. Each time we come, we're coming to Him who loves us. And each time we come, we're coming to Him who has made provision for our sin and our need of restoration and reconciliation in the cross of Jesus. And in Him, our Father, we find our home, our place of peace, our place of assurance and certainty and meaning. I trust that will help you as you make your own prayer journey in your lives each day, and beginning with our Father. Let's join together in prayer.